We live, we love, we serve. I want to talk to those this morning who want to be free. Sometimes we don't know that we're in need of freedom because we don't always recognize the bondage. But I want to talk to those of us who want to be free. And freedom is just hovering over you right now. I want to look in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. And it may seem strange when you hear it, but it's going to make sense in a minute. Exodus 12, just one verse, verse 34. Exodus 12 and 34. Here's how it reads. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowls wrapped up and their cloaks on their shoulders. I'm gonna read that again. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowls wrapped up in their cloaks on their shoulders. Come on, let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you so much, oh God. As always, God, we thank you for still being mindful of us. Mindful of us, oh God. Sometimes when we go through challenges and even struggles in our lives, there are moments when at times we feel like we're going through it alone. But then somehow, oh God, you remind us that you are mindful of us, that you are with us, you are walking with us, that you are journeying with us every step of the way. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Now God, have your way. Let your spirit continue to move in this place and in this space. And oh God, do some healing work today that we might be equipped for the journey ahead. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God, and it's in your name we pray, and we say, amen. Good, remain standing. Let me also say, before I read the scripture again, we had a beautiful homegoing service this past Thursday for Sister Joyce Wright. It was a powerful time. My son is here, Cypher Dean is here, thank you. But we had a powerful time. Joyce, you know, is such a loved member of this family. And it was just good Thursday, and it was truly a celebration. It was not a sad moment at all. And so we thank God. And I'm going to miss Joyce jumping out on this aisle and trying to help me preach on Sundays. Well, I thank God for her spirit. Amen. Amen. I'll read that again. Exodus 12, verse 34. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowls wrapped up in their cloaks on their shoulders. Do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, neighbor, make sure you leave before the bread rises. Come on, turn to somebody else and tell them again, neighbor, make sure you leave before the bread rises. Now put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. It's going to make sense in a second. Make sure you leave before the bread rises. You know, oftentimes, deliverance, freedom, and new beginnings have a way of merging at the same time. There are moments when we cry out for deliverance, or we cry out for freedom, not realizing that those cries for deliverance and freedom often come with new beginnings. That when we want God to move in particular ways, we have to be prepared for God to move in new ways. Even ways that might seem uncomfortable for us, even in the midst of our pleas to God for deliverance and freedom. I've learned in my life that if you cry out to God to move, then you ought to step back and let God move. And then don't try to navigate or even negotiate with God how the movement ought to happen. You just need to be ready to move when God begins to move. I know I got some witnesses in here who can testify to that, that when God makes it clear that it is time to move forward, you better be ready when God creates the space. Israel had been in bondage for 430 years. And during that time, there were countless moments where they cried out to God for deliverance. 430 years of hoping and wishing, and you gotta believe that at some point along that four plus centuries, people stopped crying out to God and stopped believing that deliverance was even possible. I can tell you, for some of us, it don't take 430 years to begin to be doubtful or wonder, is that breakthrough going to come? Is that answered prayer going to arrive? Is God actually going to move and do the things that I believe God is going to do for me? That when that thing seems like it is tarrying too long to be made manifest, we begin to question. Israel, again, had been in captivity 430 years, crying out to God. And then most of us know this story. God then begins to move. God moves in a powerful and tremendous way at times, using unlikely figures and characters. God uses Moses to be the liberator. Moses, who was running away from Egypt, now must now move back towards Egypt, not because of fear, but because of obedience to what God was calling Moses to do. Moses would be the deliverer of God's people from Egyptian bondage. And prior to the deliverance, those of you who know this story, that there were 10 plagues that really came over the land of Egypt. Those plagues, and I've said it at other places and points in my life and in this earth and in this church, that those plagues were not designed to scare Pharaoh. I know it might seem like it, that when God issued those 10 plagues that came through Moses, that it was somehow to make Pharaoh break Pharaoh's hold over the people of God. But the truth is, those plagues were not for Pharaoh, they were for the people. Those plagues came for the people who had become comfortable in their bondage and started believing that there was no power greater than Pharaoh. God, before he brought them out, had to show them that the one who held you captive ain't as powerful as you thought. That the one who held you in bondage doesn't have all power. So that God's movement of the plagues that preceded the deliverance of God's people were for God's people to realize that deliverance was really going to happen. And that no matter how much Pharaoh has sought to intimidate you, destroy you, kill you, break you physically, emotionally, mentally, that there is another power. You see, I've lived long enough in my life to know that in those moments where I begin to feel hopeless or begin to despair, there's another power at work that can begin to do some things in ways that I can't even calculate or imagine. Is anybody in here today who can testify to that moment? That there have been those revelatory moments in your life where God has reminded you that although things may not be working out, there's another power at play. And sometimes you got to trust when that power begins to move, even when you don't see the mechanisms of that power moving in your life. You got to trust that God is moving. That 10th plague was tough. If you know the story, that 10th plague was the plague of the death of the firstborn. That God told the people through the prophet that, listen, that there's about to be a movement of death, and everybody who is not covered will fall victim. Everyone who is not covered, and this is where you get that story of the Passover. They had to get an unblemished fresh lamb, slay it, take the blood from the lamb, put it over the doorpost, so that when death began to move, death would what? Pass over. Everybody had to be obedient, that they had to experience, oh God, what it meant to be covered by the blood. Even back then, they had to see in that moment. And it said that when that blood was placed over the doorpost from the freshly slain lamb, that death would pass over, and all those who weren't covered would be then consumed by death. And the scripture says that in those wee hours of the morning and night, as death began to move, you could hear the wailing and the screeching and the crying from the firstborn who were being taken by death. But those who were covered were not worried. I wish I had time today to help you understand that there's sometimes when you know that you are covered by God, the idea of being worried about your future is fruitless. No, when I know I'm covered, I know I can stand in the fullness of my authority as a child of God. Look at somebody and tell them you're covered. You might not understand, you might not know, and sometimes you might not feel it, but every now and again there were things that were aimed in your direction, but because you were covered, those things had to pass over. I wish I had somebody in here today who understood. Those things had to just, there were some things meant to destroy you, they just, there were some things that were meant to cripple your progress, it just, there were things seen but unseen, and they simply passed over. Here it is. Pharaoh, when he experienced that last plague, it was Pharaoh who held them in bondage, who gave the word for them to get out. He was frustrated, man. He tried to hold on. God had hardened his heart, but it was Pharaoh who said, get out. Moses had been begging, let my people go. But my God, when you're uncovered, it'll change your perspective. Oh, you'll get that when you get home. I didn't say covered, I said uncovered. Yeah, it'll change your perspective. And the uncovered Pharaoh had to release the covered people. You'll get that, my God. He had to release those who were cover. But you got to watch this. When Pharaoh said to go, aided by the plagues of power, oh gosh, they had to go. And the opening came, created by God. And the word from Moses said, go. There were people who had food being prepared. Bread was in the oven. And the prophet said, no, don't wait, because an opening has been made. And if God makes an opening, your obligation is to go. He said, grab the dough that had not risen yet. You'll get it later. The bread had not risen yet. It was still dough. And it said this, in their haste, they grabbed the dough and the kneading bowls. Those are the bowls they use to make the dough. They didn't even pack properly. They took the kneading bowls, put it in their clothes, put it on their shoulders, and they left. They didn't have everything. I'm sure if they had been told in advance when the opening would happen, they would have been more prepared with the packing. Boy, you're gonna get this. But they weren't told in advance. They were notified in the moment. It's time to go. The doors are swinging open. Your freedom is now. Liberation is on the agenda. You ain't got time to get ready. Go. You see, I'm gonna tell you, when God makes it clear it's time to move and go, some of us are not really ready for the rapid pace of the deliverance. I mean, if you're gonna pray to God to make a way, don't be surprised when it happens in the drop of a dime. If you wanna ask God to make a way, you better be ready to do what? Go. Oh God, I'm talking to somebody now. Now you might be saying, nah, sometimes going is hard because you're waiting for the perfect scenario to leave. Oh gosh, you're waiting for the perfect situation. You want things to look a certain way, be a certain way before you exit. But I gotta let you know, there's never a perfect moment to walk into your liberation. There's never a perfect moment to walk into your freedom. And when God makes it clear it is time to go, grab what you can and start making your way for the exit sign. Because when God opens that path, opens that door, it is time to what? No, there's not going to be a perfect moment for your breakthrough, no matter how hard you try. And this is what I love, because sometimes going is difficult. Now I got to get the truth, because some of y'all in here saying, yes, Pastor, yes, go. But some of y'all have had doors open and you sat. Some of us cried out to God to make a way and we stayed. Oh, see, I ain't got that part yet. I mean, it was clear that the opportunity for freedom was right there. And then when the opportunity presents itself, the real truth of your plea comes out. Were you pleading for deliverance or were you just asking for a break? Because let's be clear, some folk who ask to be delivered don't really want to be delivered. They just want a little break from what's going on. But getting a little break does not equate to deliverance. Because after the break, you can fall back into the same routine, the same practice, the same habits. It's not a break you're really asking for. You need to ask for deliverance. But my God, isn't it amazing when you ask God for deliverance and freedom shows itself, but now the responsibility is no longer on God? Oh, pause for a second. I get it. You actually made a job of simply asking for freedom. You simply went through the gestures and the rituals of asking for freedom, because some people who ask for freedom don't really want to be free. I already told you, they just want a what? A break. But you see, when you rehearse the habits of asking God for freedom and subconsciously not believing that freedom will never come, instead of actually being in position to wait for the arrival of freedom, you start to settle into the bondage. Okay, and it hit you. You start accepting the bondage. Okay, then it hits you. You cried out to freedom because of the bondage, but then you found a way to settle in the bondage. Can I tell you something? What I learned? I've learned this, that when you have asked for freedom, deliverance, a season of wholeness, and then when you actually stop believing it is possible, then you start settling for what you're in, I found that that's just the moment where God will answer. Oh, you didn't get that. Because God is not just rescuing you from the space of bondage, he's rescuing you from the demon of settling. Oh God, you got to hear this today. And sometimes the demon of settling is worse than the captivity. When you actually accept the conditions of the captivity and you stop actually looking for deliverance, you ain't getting this today. That you start making sense of your pain, your struggle, your bondage, your captivity, and you stop actually believing that that deliverance is a possibility. So then you start thinking, well, maybe this is what God wants for me, and let me just make sense and make a life in this debilitating space. I'm talking to somebody in here today. When you actually begin to think that this captivity, this bondage, this damaged space is actually your destiny. But you got to know in your mind that this damaged space you in is not your destiny with God. So don't you dare start settling in spaces that are killing you. Don't you dare settle in spaces that are destroying you. Don't you dare settle in spaces that are undermining your future. Because now this, you might be settled, you might feel good for a moment, you might even get a break, but you have no idea what misery will do to your spirit when you begin to settle in places that you are not meant to stay. But I get it. I know it's hard for some. I'm going to tell you why it's hard for some, and I'm going to try to get out of here. It's hard. Well, can I just tell you real quick? And I want the honest folk in here today. Sometimes moving when God says move in the time of your breakthrough is hard. Well, simple. Fear of the unknown is real. Oh, let me add this to it. Since some of y'all, it ain't hit you yet. Fear of the unknown is not terrifying when you ain't got much. But when you got some things on the line, you've accumulated some things, you've risen to certain places, and now security and safety is what you seek, not journey and adventure anymore. Because trust me, freedom is a journey. But see, fear of the unknown. You didn't mind the unknown back in the days when you ain't had nothing, when everything was unknown. But now, you done came up a little bit. And you can do some things you couldn't do before. And now, you've worked hard not to deal with the unknown anymore. You thought you created a life where you could now order how your movements would look because of the security you've accumulated. And now you stop really thinking about the unknown. You want the understood. Sometimes we don't move because of fear of the unknown. I gotta give you another reason, and this is another simple one. And I already alluded to it. You don't always move when God says move, because I mean, it's bad, it's even bondage, it's even debilitating, but can I tell you what else it is? It's known. You get comfortable with the destructive familiar. You get comfortable with the toxic familiar. And you begin to think that this ain't as bad as you thought it was, because you can at least learn some things that you have learned to develop to help you navigate in your bondage. And so now you got comfortable in your captivity and at ease in what is destroying you. And then you then try to find spaces outside of the bondage to get a little glimpse of peace and to feel good for a moment. And because you then, instead of leaving the place of bondage, you go looking for breaks. Oh God. You start looking for spaces that give you a little relief before you go back to the bondage. And why do you go back? It's familiar. Can I get deeper? Even the spaces that you need for the breaks are familiar. Gotta be familiar, because you're terrified of the unknown. Okay, I'm sorry. God says go, you don't go. One, because, well, fear of the unknown. Two, comfort in the familiar bondage. But when it's time to go, you gotta go. Look at what it says in that one little verse. When Pharaoh made it clear they had to leave, it said what? They took their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowls wrapped in their cloaks, and put them on their shoulders. You know what I realized when you look at that? That when those folk left the place of bondage, they didn't take much. Oh. Okay. They only took what they deemed was essential. Okay, let me put it another way. Sometimes it's hard to leave the place of bondage because you're afraid of what you're going to lose. That's when bondage is, you know, bondage can be very attractive, especially when bondage has yielded some blessings that you didn't get before the bondage. And now you're afraid of what you're going to lose, and so you don't leave when it's time to go. But here, watch what they do. They take only what's necessary. They have unloaded themselves before they moved into the place of freedom. You got to get that. And maybe sometimes in the midst of the open door where you got to move quick because God made a way, you don't need all that stuff to weigh you down when freedom is on the agenda. You got to be willing to leave some stuff behind. Because you got to make up your mind, the freedom I'm about to get is better than anything I got to leave behind. I hope I'm helping somebody in here. And you can't be afraid of what is left. Because you're about to walk into what was unexpected. But see, you got to trust that. So that's the part of our issue, that we get to a place when freedom is on the agenda, where we can only take what is essential, and we have to leave some things behind. And the things that we have to leave behind ain't always things. Sometimes it's old habits, sometimes it's toxic patterns, and sometimes it's toxic relationships, and sometimes it's burdens we've been carrying that don't even have our name on. And it's sometimes it's the people we've been holding on to because we thought the holding on to made sense. It's things that we weigh ourselves down with, and it makes it hard to move towards freedom because sometimes it's just too doggone heavy. I know I'm talking to some heavy folk in here today. Every step you made been weighted down by the things you should have let go of a long time ago. And so when it's time to go, you got to take the essential things. Can I tell you something? Sometimes the essential things are not tangible. Can I tell you? Sometimes the essential things are peace of mind. And sometimes the essential things are like clarity that you receive and that you get on that moment. That is the nature of the journey. That you get so fearful of what you're going to leave, you don't know what you're going to gain. And sometimes the things you're going to gain are the things you really need to begin the new day in your life. And so listen, I'm done. Listen, when God makes an opening, go. When it's time to go, take what's essential. But look at this story. They took, and I didn't even think about this earlier. They took dough. In other words, they left before the bread had a chance to what? You got it. That means they moved quickly. And they took the dough and the kneading bowl. That is the bowl that they used to make the dough. You ain't get that. They didn't understand that they left with the kneading bowl. It's the bowl you use to make the dough. You get the flour and then you put the water and then you make the dough. You get me? It's the kneading bowl. They took dough provision and they took a kneading bowl that would be prepared for future provision. Hold on. You missed that. Can I just make this quick connection, Alicia? When they were in the wilderness, the scripture said that God provided manna. Manna was a coriander seed that had to be ground and then used to make more dough. Wait a minute. You mean they took the bowl they would need when God would make provision so they would be ready? You ain't catch that. Because it's not always the bread you need, it's the resources to make what God will provide. I hope you understand that. I hope you get that. That kneading bowl represents preparedness for God's provision. That when you are ready for the resources of God, you ain't worried about what you're gonna leave behind, because you know what? God will provide. Is there anybody in here today who can testify that the Lord will provide? I just need to know, do you got your kneading bowl ready? For when God makes the resources available, are you ready to go to work for your new beginning? Look at your neighbor and just tell them something simple. God will provide. Tell somebody else, God will provide. That's why I can go when God says go. That's why I ain't worried about what I'm going to leave behind. I ain't worried about who I'm going to leave behind, because I know that the Lord will provide. Is there anybody in here today who can testify that the Lord will provide? Look at your neighbor and you tell your neighbor, I've been around for a long time. And every step of the way, I know that God has made a way. That every step of the way, I've seen God blow my mind. Every step of the way, I've seen what God can do. And is there anybody in here today who can give God some thanksgiving for always making a way? Look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, God keeps on making a way. God keeps on
provision of God.
Oh, yes.
I can walk into my freedom unafraid because God will provide. Everything I might lose, God will restore it right before me. And just in case there are people around you who doubt the provision of God, tell them don't leave yet, because God ain't finished. Because the Bible says that God will prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Because my enemies need to see what the Lord can do, what God can do.
Oh yes, tell somebody, make sure you leave before the bread rises. Make sure you get out when God makes an opening. Because when freedom is on the agenda, your faith, you got to stand up strong. You got to know in your heart that God will provide. So get your kneading bowl ready. In fact, when you leave here today, I need you to walk out with a new gesture. When people look at you and think you lost your mind, you'll be like, what are you doing? I'm getting ready for what God is about to do in my life. I know the resources is coming, but my preparation is right now. Can I get somebody to just... And you tell folks when you leave here today, I'm getting ready for what God is about to do in my life. Because I know that the Lord will provide. See, we say it too casually. Jehovah Jireh. God's my provider. Well, if you know God will provide, start acting like it. What is a loss when God keeps on providing? What is a setback when God keeps on providing? What is a downfall when God keeps on providing? Grandmama said it like this: every time I turn around, he keeps on making a way in my life. Why? Because God will provide. Come on, stand on your feet, beloved. God will. Oh yes. Oh yes. God will. God will. God will. God will. Make a way. God will. Open doors. God will. Provide. Provide. And sometimes I know you got to stay in the present, but sometimes you got to speak to your future and tell your future, I'm on the way. I'm on the way because God will provide every step of the way. Listen. Listen, I'm trying to be cute for a second, but look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, we ain't trying to be cute right now. Look at somebody and tell them, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. He keeps on making a way. Oh God, he keeps on. And here's my word to somebody. God got you. That's it. God got you. So walk in your freedom. Move in your new day. Don't hesitate. Grab your dough and your
I want to pray today. I want to pray. Hold on. You know why? I want to pray today for the folks who thought that God wasn't going to do it again. You had that opening and you didn't take it. And you thought you would never get a chance again. That's not the God I serve. Because here's what I learned. If God did it one time, watch this. God didn't do it because of you. God did it in spite of you. And you here right now. And instead of walking in the possibility you just heard about, I want you to be honest. You in your mind, you're thinking, Pastor, all that is good, but I feel like I missed my opportunity. Because I know you're here. And you've been beating yourself up for a long time because you actually thought you missed your opportunity. I'm here to tell you, grab your dough and your kneading bowl. Because that door is about to swing open again. Don't ever minimize God's movements. Because guess what? When God did it the first time, you ain't see it coming. And when God does it this time, you might not see it coming, but I need you to be ready. Be ready. But if you're here today, you're honest enough to say, Pastor, you just outed me. Because I was one of those people who thought that my time had passed. And so I've been settling in, not believing that a new day was possible. I need you to come. Be honest. Don't be ashamed today. Don't be ashamed today. Don't be ashamed. Don't even be ashamed. Because you know what I realize? Sometimes you could spend so much time reflecting on what you thought was a missed opportunity, not realizing that new ones are right there. And here's what I learned. When it comes to your freedom, God don't play about that. What I've discovered is that God is vigilant about you. That God's love and care for you is so intense. Watch this. That God said, I'm going to keep on opening that door until she walked through. And while you sitting there lamenting over what you thought was the missed opportunity, God is opening up new doors. So what do you got to do? Pick your head up. And stop sitting around here in your misery and your pity party and your self-inflicted sorrow. And start seeing the opportunities and moments that God has been creating for you. And maybe this is your season to finally move in the direction of your freedom. But remember this, don't try to take everything with you, because there's some things ain't meant for your road to freedom. But take what's essential. And can I tell you, what's essential may not be a lot. But what's on the other side of your obedience will blow your mind. And if the truth be told, that's the real fear. you are afraid that there's not more on the other side. But there is. There is. I was a child and I would hear the seasoned saints quote scripture, say things like, my father is rich, houses and land. He has the wealth of the world in his hands. In other words, would you leave? God may not restore that, because maybe that wasn't even enough for you. God can go above and beyond what you can imagine. And then you got to face this reality that maybe you have been the cause of the limitation because you started settling for what you had, not believing God had more. And don't you ever think that somehow what you take ain't enough? I heard a sermon from one of my mentors this week. He said this, anything plus God. You hear that? Anything plus God is more than enough. Because when you get to the point where you don't see God restore, but God create, and then you understand when you hear, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. There's a world waiting for you on the other side of your obedience, but you have to fundamentally trust that God will provide. You got to believe that, beloved. Those of you who've come down this morning, you have to believe that. You didn't miss your moment. You missed a moment. But God is not exhausted of the moments that God has for you. There's more. So much more. So much more. And I know sometimes we even doubt that. We wonder if there's more. We wonder if it'll get better. But I dare you to trust. People of Israel ran out of Egypt. And can I tell you this? You know the story. I ain't going to preach it again. But when they ran out, they ran into an obstacle. A big sea. And they thought it was over. Watch this. God said, I didn't bring you out to break you. I brought you out to bless you. And I will move whatever needs to be moved to get you where I need you to be. You just got to move in the direction of your new day and trust that God will provide. Come on, beloved, let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you today, oh God. We thank you today, oh God. Because God, you have been faithful. My God. When we look over our lives, and yes, there have been challenges, and yes, there have been difficulties, and that's just part of the journey of life. But God, in the midst of all of that, you have been faithful. You have been amazing. You have been incredible. And oh God, the song made it clear, Lord, an incredible God deserves incredible praise, oh God. So God, we bless your name right now. We bless your name because we believe. We bless your name because we trust. We bless your name because we have faith. We bless your name because we know that you will continue to make ways, oh God. You know, God, for those who came down worrying, thinking that they missed their moment, tell them, oh God, as long As they got breath, you got opportunities. As long as they're alive, you'll keep on making provision. As long as they continue to trust, you'll keep on opening doors. So God, thank you. God, thank you for our obedience in this season, oh God. Because even right now, some of us are getting ready to grab our dough in our kneading bowls, oh God. Because we know it's time. It's time. Lord, it is a beautiful thing. Yes, when goodness and mercy follow us. But it's a beautiful thing when freedom walks beside us. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. 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 We love you, Lord. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. And we say amen. 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 Come on, give God a hand clap of praise on today.